and welcome to Wild Disabled. My name is Simon Sansom, and I'm the presenter of Wild Disabled. And today, I have the awesome Dan White with me, who is a commentator on Channel 5, the Jeremy Vine Show, former The Right Stuff.
That's it, yeah. A few times I've been on there, yeah, occasionally, yeah. I've yet to be seconded to the desk and was stuck in the audience, but apparently, according to them, I'm an expert on vegan food as well as disability, which I never knew anything about, but yeah, there we go. On the spot. Yeah.
Also presenter of the BBC.
Yeah, I've been on the BBC a few times, it's great, yeah. Mostly BBC Radio, BBC local radio station, on once a month to give the hierarchy of you on disability and the comic and stuff like that. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, now, normally, then, what we're doing for Wild Disabled is we're trying to raise awareness for people with disabilities. Yeah. Now, you don't actually have a physical disability.
No.
However, the reason I'm interviewing yourself is because your daughter does.
Yes, she does.
Now, before we talk about your daughter, going back, I think she's 11 years old now, 12 years old. Beg your pardon. Going back 12 years, what did you know before Emily had a disability?
What did I know about the community in general?
Disability services, about being involved in disability organisations, being a disabled parent, or anything along that lines. What were you taught? What did you know?
You weren't taught anything.
Exactly.
I mean, you weren't taught anything at all. I mean, the fact was, even at prenatal classes, disability is never mentioned. Not once does someone in there who headed the group say, look, the possibility is that someone in this group may give birth to a disabled child, and there's such and such support and such and such support. That never happens. Everyone's sold the perfect birth, and there's no information beforehand to say that possibly, maybe, there could be one disabled child born to one of these parents in this room.
So you think that having a leaflet, a simple leaflet, explaining that this is what's going to happen if your child becomes disabled?
Exactly.
Or born with a disability.
Exactly. A leaflet or a phone number to someone like Scope or something like that, it can talk you through. I mean, it won't solve the problem, it won't take away the heartache, the stress and the dark thoughts that come with diagnosis, but it will alleviate some of that. It will bring some much needed diagnosis to you that you can work through on what particular disability your child, unborn child, is being diagnosed with.
So what diagnosis did Emily actually have?
Well, the first hospital we went to, they were particularly bad. We went in to have the scan because they thought my wife was breached. They did the scan, then everyone left the room. And we were just left there. Yeah, I know. No, it is funny. Because that's the sort of quality of care you're talking about.
They just abandoned you.
They just left the room, obviously, to go and have a chat. They came back in and brought in a load of trainee doctors and nurses to sit down as well. As if they said, well, come on in and watch these parents crumble to dust before your eyes. But they came back in and said, we've done the scan. We think your daughter's got water on the brain. Other than that, we don't know much and we can't really tell you much about it. You're going into Southampton General on Monday. They should be able to tell you more. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Well, that's nice of them, isn't it?
It was. So in that instance, our world literally fell apart because you are not told how serious it is. Water on the brain, if people are not aware, it is correct diagnosis, is hydrocephalus. Just as a warning to anyone, if they get diagnosed, do not Google anything until you've seen someone because it's a nightmare. We didn't Google, by the way. But yes, there was no empathy, no working knowledge of disability when we were diagnosed. So we were literally punched verbally in the face and left for 2 days to deal with the incredible news that our child has a disability, but to what extent, we didn't know.
Now, this sounds quite sad, but however, I do follow you on Twitter and social media, and you are the proudest father in the world.
Oh, God, I am. I'm proud of every child in this community. I just wish they were allowed to have their own voices, regardless of how they communicate.
So Emily is diagnosed with spina bifida.
Spina bifida, hydrocephalus, chiari malformation, scoliosis and autism. Boom!
Okay, let's start with the first one. Right. Spina bifida. For people who don't know what spina bifida is, can you explain what it is?
Yeah, spina bifida is a hole in the network of nerves that run down the back. For some reason, a lesion happens during pregnancy and the hole opens up and the nerves do not actually join together. So depending on where that's down the spine is, dictates the disability. The higher it is on the neck, unfortunately, the worse it is. The lower down it is, affects things like bowel, bladder and leg movement. That's where Emily's is. It's quite near her back. So she was born with an open wound on her back.
Okay.
And nerve endings are quite fickle because once they're not connected, they don't connect.
No. I'll sympathise with that. I've got a spinal damage and mine is nerve damage and obviously affects my bladder, my bowel, sexual function, legs and sort of feet and so on and so forth. So I can sympathise with that.
Yeah.
Obviously this has turned yours and your wife's life upside down, but obviously positively, because you've got a lovely daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you see now that you didn't see before?
What I see now is a hitherto hidden community that I wasn't aware of before, that is just full of empowering, diverse people, all joined together, every culture, every colour, every creed, doesn't matter if you're upper, middle, lower class. I see this great big bonded community of people, and especially parents, who, thanks to the advent of social media and things like that, finally have the opportunity in a society which still views disability as something, I don't know if we really want to go there, but it gives them an avenue to talk and discuss. Mm. And so I'm quite lucky in the fact I've built up a big network of these families, and we all cross over and talk and reach out to other families as well, bring them on board. It's not just tell us your sad stories, it's what's the funniest stories. We go out for coffee mornings. We sit in Costas and talk about poo and wee for an hour.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of fact, as it should be. And it's great and fun.
The thing is, now, with the disabled community, okay, there is no taboo subject
no.
as well. You talk about everything because it's your life.
It's your life.
If you're going out with me, if I was going out with my mates, I would tell them how I'm getting on with girls or my wife and so on and so forth. And you go into detail about it.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with the disabled community. Yeah. If you've got issues with bowel movement or you're catheterised or whatever, you do talk about it because it affects your life.
And it can be funny.
It can be.
It can be funny.
I mean, the amount of times I've fallen over, slipped on piss, is enormous.
Yeah, the amount of times I've been covered in it. It's just ridiculous. But you can have these conversations. The disabled community is the most honest community when it comes to dialogue, and it is the most honest when it comes to friendship, and they're just a big network of beauty.
And I think the other community, the fully able community, I think can actually learn from the disabled community about having open conversations, because they do not talk about piss, wee, drugs, whatever.
No.
They don't even talk about income at work because people are embarrassed about it and how much they earn. And this is like with the BBC, and nobody knew how much everyone was earning.
Yeah.
And if everyone was open about it, you wouldn't have the issues in the first place.
Exactly. That's the problem. Yeah. British society is still stuck in a post-war attitude of silence and one up on the Joneses and stuff like that. It's time for that. It's gone. Blow the dust off.
It is. And one of the articles I did research before I met you is your realistic Love Island comments.
Yeah.
How you were saying that Love Island, aren't even they're all beautiful, they're all models, but it doesn't reflect today's society.
No. It just perpetuates a stereotype, unfortunately. And as much as the programme is loved, and I'm not going to down the makers because they've obviously hit on a good thing and that's their prerogative, but it'd be nice to see the other avenue of it.
Mm.
I mean, everyone falls in love, not just supermodels. Was that just me? The people still balk at the fact to say, well, people have a sex life. Well, they do have a sex life.
Yeah.
And they have a great sex life.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. So there is no taboo. But the problem with that is they perpetuate the stereotype that you have to be completely good looking with a six pack, and of course makes everyone feel still shunted away.
Obviously, your daughter is in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
How does this affect her going to school, having a normal life?
She has very much a normal life. She goes to a mainstream school. The children there just ask her a question, and she's just treated as one of the regulars. The school she goes to is mainstream, has 20% physical and mental disabilities.
Okay.
All the kids look out for each other. All the kids are great with each other. And it's an actual template for how an educational system could work.
Yeah.
I know you have to, in some instances, people advocate SEN education, which is fine, but then you're still breeding two groups of children apart from each other. I mean, there is a way. The educational system can incorporate the SEN part of it.
Mm.
All children need to learn. It's just a matter of teaching the teacher a different way to doing it. You can't keep breeding segregation. We need to be integrated if we're going to have a completely inclusive society for the next generation up.
Completely agree with you. But I do a lot of research on the people I'm interviewing.
Yeah.
So, for people like yourself, you keep a blog. You write stories for many organisations. So, what happened at JFK?
JFK? John F. Kennedy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I was there last week.
Oh, JFK Airport, probably the worst place on earth for disabilities. I mean, obviously it's flat, it's accessible.
Yeah.
The ironic thing about it was there was plenty of ladies' toilets and gents' toilets and pet cleaning stations, so you could, I don't know, so you can go in and scrub your walrus if you wanted to for an hour. But when it came to disabled toilets, no one wanted to know. Everyone avoided us. Emily was desperate, and obviously we thought there's got to be somewhere that Emily can physically go to the toilet. Every disabled toilet had the half-height doors off the ground so you could see underneath. And when you have to lay your child on the floor, that's not particularly feasible.
No.
Or indeed very good for a dignity.
No.
So yeah, it is an abomination of an airport. It could be better because of the size and the access, but it's an absolute abomination. So of course, my wife booted open what looked like a cupboard door. Yeah. Turned out to be a disabled toilet. It wasn't signposted or anything. Yeah. Welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, yeah. I was in New York and I'm writing an article at the moment on how accessible New York was and how accessible Boston is. And the worst thing that happened to me was when I got... So I'll take my mobility scooter with me because it's adapted for me. And what we did was we BA, take it on the plane, not a problem, put it in the cargo hold, not a problem. They returned it with a flat tyre.
At least you got it back, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. They said either a Frank Gardner on you and leave it somewhere.
Yeah, it was just kind of interesting because everyone was trying to fix my scooter because of the flat tyre, because I couldn't move, couldn't go anywhere. They have these pull wheelchairs which you can't wheel yourself, So you have to get dragged everywhere.
Oh, they're appalling.
Yeah,
they just don't get it that people want to be self-propelled and they're going to sit you in something that's not good for your mobility anyway, especially if you have something like scoliosis for a start.
Yeah. So we had to be dragged by the security officer through the customs.
So demeaning.
It took 2 days to fix my scooter and it cost £266. I'm still trying to get my money back from BA because obviously they damaged it. Transport.
Yeah, I think they have a limit, don't they, of when it comes to wheelchairs, something like £5,000, because apparently a wheelchair is equated as luggage. Mm. Apparently, so you will not get any more than total value of luggage is.
Now, we are coming up to Christmas. I know. Well, you know.
Should have it every year.
But it happens every year, You talked about an accessible Christmas.
Yes.
Go on, tell us about that.
Oh, there's plenty of things in accessible Christmas. Obviously, there's disabled people want to go out and spend their money and you can't have access to shops because most shops looking like they're stocked up for the apocalypse with boxes and stuff in the way. I mean, there's obviously the grottos that children can't get into if they've got mobility issues as well. So there's a whole thing around Christmas that is not catered for inclusion. I mean, look, people on the autistic spectrum, there's lights and flashing colours and bright lights everywhere. And yet we have Purple Tuesday coming up. Mm-hmm. Next week, a day when disabled people go shopping. And as much as I appreciate it, I think that's just an irony that they say, for one day, you can go and spend your money. Yeah, for one day, all our staff are going to be appropriately trained in disability. And for the rest of the year, they'll completely forget it and be rubbish like they always are.
One of my largest articles I wrote, which got thousands and thousands of hits, was a Fenwick one. And it was Accessible Christmas. What happened was, me and my wife went to get a bed at Fenwick's in Leicester.
Yeah.
Now, the Fenwick's is on the third floor. And we were queuing around the corner on Boxing Day, 5 o'clock in the morning, never want to do it again. Why would I do it? I'll sit there in my own chair.
Yeah.
Because we got a bed for £200, which is normally £1,500.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah. And so coming around to the corner, and all of a sudden you got a queue of 1,000 people there waiting to get in on Boxing Day sales. I'm like, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So I get to the front, and there's a step. They don't expect people to turn up in a wheelchair on Boxing Day sales. So anyway, they stop everyone coming in, get the ramp and get me in. But what they've done as well, they've put extra aisles in the shop.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because they're trying to get rid of all their stock. So now my wheelchair can't get down the normal size aisle because they've halved it.
Yeah.
So I got down halfway and I got stuck.
Yeah.
So I had to shout at the security guards for assistance to pull me back out because we couldn't get anywhere. In the meantime, my wife trundled upstairs to the third floor again because there's no chance you can get in the lift. There's 1,000 people in the
shop.
You can't make your way through it.
Yeah.
So it was 45 minutes to go up three floors to the bed section. By the time I got there, my wife finished. I was on her way back down and left. And I was stuck in the shop by myself, surrounded by thousands of people swiping shelves. And I just couldn't move at all.
It's just no dignity. And other people always seem to look at you as if you're the problem. That's what I find.
Mm.
Yeah, oh, you're the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like poor Emily when she loves going buying books, trying to navigate the works. It's like trying to split the atom, especially because they glue the card net machine. She can't reach the card net machine. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Right, now, one of the reasons I am interviewing you because you've done an awesome comic book.
Okay. 230-page graphic novel called The Department of Ability. We're actively looking for a publisher at the minute. The book is completely scripted and hand-drawn by me. It's being coloured and lettered as we speak. But yeah, we're actively looking for a graphic novel publisher to take it on board. There's plenty of interest. I've very luckily got a global support network of people clamouring to see it. So we've already got an audience. We've given away 20,000 free colouring books already. Yeah, okay. Just gave them away. Went worldwide. We've
Excellent.
Been to America. We've been here, there and everywhere. People just saying, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? It's like, please don't speak to me. Just badger your publishers.
I've already asked for my signed copy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it is. I'm very proud of it. It's the characters are disabled. You've got Emily in a flying wheelchair. You've got Azazat's the crash-landed alien with a prosthetic. You've got Dr. Jacob Claypole, partially resurrected ghost. Of course, he has no eyesight. You've got Pawsey, the cheetah with a prosthetic running limb, who's highly sarcastic. And you've got Billy the dog with his robotic tail and wheels. And they're having this adventure about this alien that comes to Earth. It's not what you think it is, though. I think it's very original, patting myself on the back for the first time in my life. But yeah, it's the core crux of it is they may be disabled, but that's not the subject of the book.
No.
Yeah.
The whole idea is they're superheroes who have a disability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously they're not represented in, you know, the only two I can think of at the top of my head that may be more is Daredevil, who's blind, but he's still got superpowers.
Yeah.
And Professor X, who's in a wheelchair, who's got mind control.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the pretext of it is that Emily gets a lot of grief from the president for being a superhero, not because she's disabled, but because she's too young. So that's where it all is. And it's just a cracking adventure full of wit, sarcasm, and action. Lots of sarcasm, because Emily's character doesn't do authority, much like Emily.
Mm. Although I would point out that Deadpool does become actually disabled for about half an hour until he grows something back.
Yeah.
You know, chops off his own hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they grow back shortly afterwards.
Emily doesn't have as much profanity, but she probably would do.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's next with the Department of Ability?
Like I said, actively seeking a publisher. If anyone knows a publisher's interested, they've already got an audience of sales ready to go. I mean, my agent is standing by to retout the publisher's package out to people, but we've got other interest in it. I've signed a couple of agreements around Department of Ability, I can't actually mention, unfortunately, but when they become active, the project will become more wanted again. So there's plenty going on, but in the meantime, I'm doing my campaign work and stuff, and just being annoyance to generally people in power.
That's right. Like. Now, there was a campaign on Twitter this week for you to become the disabled minister for people with families and children with disabilities.
Yeah, we launched that with Scope. Myself and Scope have launched that this week. It went live. I'm the face of their campaign, God bless them. I think they probably picked me because I look like Sue Perkins, and everyone will think, oh, Sue's in charge of the campaign.
Oh, that's who you remind me of.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm going. But no, yeah, it's a great campaign. We're actively looking to tell the government that we need a minister for disabled children, because as every parent knows, from diagnosis through to birth, just after birth, are the pivotal times for a parent when there is no information, no support, anything. You're just taught to fight to everything, and that shouldn't be the case. There needs to be someone in place, a system in place that can feed through every department, be it DWP, housing, whatever, to give that support at an early stage. And it can happen. There's no reason why it can't happen.
It can happen, actually. One of the articles I also wrote for myself is I used to work in adult social care. And although I specialised in adult mental health and physical disabilities, until you're disabled, you know nothing about it whatsoever. And I was very ignorant of the fact that I thought our support, helping people and supporting people until you're disabled, which I was 4 years ago, you know, again, you know nothing, is the introduction of disability officers, not social workers, disability officers, who can guide you through the process of telling you what's available, because I didn't know you could get a motability card. Never heard of the scheme.
No one wants to tell you.
No.
No one wants to tell you.
I didn't know I could get personal independence payment. No. I didn't know my wife could get carer's allowance.
Nope. Oh, carer's allowance. Oh, careful how you spend that massive amount of money a week. Yeah, £62.
Oh, no, she doesn't get that because she earns too much. No, this is a different one. No, this is the other one. Is you get a carer's assessment each year, and you get £250 from the local council.
£250 a year?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that why you're always in Barbados for that then, are you? Sorry, listeners, there's a heavy dose of irony.
No, what we do is, it's not a lot of money, but what we do with it is we cash the £250 and we pay a gardener £20 every couple of weeks, so we don't have to pay for the gardening. And so it helps out there. But no, £250 isn't a great deal of help, but nobody knows it's available. Nobody knows what services you can get. Nobody knows about social services. Nobody knows about adaptations you get for properties.
No.
I went to talk to Samantha Bullock, who's one of the UK's top wheelchair models.
Love Samantha. She's lovely.
Absolutely gorgeous woman. And she lives in a flat in the east of London. And it's an adaptive flat, but it's not got wider... It's not got an adaptive kitchen. It's not got an adaptive bathroom. It's got no handrails. All it is a flat entrance. Even though it's got a threshold going in the front door. She can get a wheelchair around, fine, but it's not got wider doors.
Yeah.
And once I walked in there and said, look, you're in a wheelchair. You can have wider doors, handrails, adaptive bathroom or kitchen. Speak to social. She went, wow, I never knew this.
Yeah. Okay.
She knew. And one of the reasons she didn't know about it is because she's from Brazil. Mm. And when you come over here, you're not told what's available and what's not available. Mm. And there's no one to tell you unless you get involved in the actual or claim benefits.
Do the groundwork yourself, absolutely. Because when you go around saying that, when the government is an immediate lambasting people for claiming benefits, when you see there's actually more benefits being unclaimed than there is going out, and it's not the disabled people that are making these claims. The biggest drain on a political system is elderly people.
Yeah.
Absolute proven fact. But if there was someone in place to guide families, newborn parents around that stage, to say, this is what you can do, this is the support, I can offer you this and that and that and that. At every hospital, you have a chaplain, don't you?
Yeah.
And you have the woman who comes round when you've had a baby to sell you the soaps and the hand gels and stuff. Why can't you have someone at that hospital who's not completely over on disability, but is a bit empathetic, knows a little bit about it, knows how to network, who will come in to see this new parent, say, look, I'm here, this is what we can offer you, support wise. If people just did that from the word go, that would be a help.
I was, being a former expert in adult social care, I was on the phone for 45 minutes to some family friends the other night. Never met them before, just know them through family. And I talked them through not just the government system, because also as well it's very complicated, because you've got local councils and governments, and you get it from different departments. So local authorities deal with social services,
yeah.
And then you've got benefit claims from attendance allowance or personal independence claim from the government.
Yeah.
So people get confused on which councils and which departments you need to go to as well,
yeah.
Because it's just a minefield of knowledge that nobody knows,
yeah.
And which doesn't need to be advertised.
Yeah. No, it is an absolute minefield of knowledge, and you're prepared to sit and read through a form the size of War and Peace. I mean, things need to be simplified as well. When you had this diagnosis and your child is born, you're still completely in the air about everything. You don't really want to sit down and work through something like that. The forms need to be simplistic and basic and just tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
There's so much ground for change if someone could just up the ante and do it. That's what this campaign is for.
With you and your wife...
Amy, yeah.
Thank you. With you and your wife, Amy, what would make the biggest difference to your lives right now that the government could introduce...
Biggest difference would be total access and inclusion right across the country, because the biggest fear for any parent of a disabled child is what will happen to them when you're no longer here. Because unfortunately you're seeing a rise again back in care homes and institutions, as it were. And you want all your children to be independent when they leave home. You want them to be able to access things, go somewhere, have the adaptations they need. That's the biggest worry for any parent. So that's why things need to be put in place to make the future more accessible and inclusive for everyone. There's no reason why it can't happen.
No.
I mean, they're still building houses with steps because it looks nice. We'll just put a ramp in. I don't think any able-bodied person would worry about walking up a ramp instead of a step. Take out the cobbles, make houses, build accessible houses. It's just a no-brainer. You have, 17 million disabled people in the country. Just do it. Just do it, because that's the biggest bugger. That's my biggest worry, is the future when I'm no longer here. And you try not to think about it. You hold that thought and you just put it at the back of your mind. But it will happen one day that Emily will be out in the world, and I just want her to be out in the world independently.
Yeah. Now, for people who listen to Wild Disabled, we're just going to move on as well from there. This is kind of an entertainment show, so we keep it light-hearted. We keep it serious, but we also keep it light-hearted.
I know we're light-hearted. We're sat in a big wooden tangerine suspended in the air. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, we're at Olympic Park in London, outside the Scope office.
Yeah.
And if anyone's been here before, we are in a big
pineapple?
Yeah, pineapple, pear.
Yeah.
It's very big, it's very orange, it's made of wood. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Orange and made of wood. That's Donald Trump.
It might be a bit echoey because we are in such a big pear-shaped plum orange thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it might affect the recording, but it doesn't matter. So this is things you should not say to a person with a disability.
Yep.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Now, the reason I've introduced this is because it highlights issues on what you shouldn't say to people with disabilities, but what people do anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not. And I think it's rather ignorance, rudeness, or just because they haven't been told not to say these things.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see what of these you've actually heard. Because I've heard these. I'm not insulted by them. I think they're quite funny. I mean, most of the time I tell them to go away very politely.
Yeah. Go read a book.
Yeah.
But don't read the Daily Mail. Go and read something that's going to educate
you. Yeah. So I'm just wondering if yourself or Emily has actually heard any of these.
Go on.
Okay. What's the matter with your legs?
Yes.
How often do you get that?
I don't get that now. We used to get people looking at me saying, your daughter would say, well, what's a disability? To my answer would be, well, don't ask me, ask Emily.
Yeah.
Emily's got a voice.
That's the other one I was going to ask, because people talk to the parents rather than the child.
Yeah.
And that happens to me when my wife go out for a meal or for a drink or whatever, because I'm in my chair at social functions, they talk to my wife. Because I'm down here, they'll just ignore me.
It's the image that you have a mental disability and you're mute, isn't it? Yeah,
they just don't see you, do
Welcome to the 1950s.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. How come you're in a wheelchair?
Yep, Emily has that. And to answer that is, she's given two answers. She said, I was born with complications, which immediately just cracks it up. Or she says, it's my brain, I'm bonkers. And it just wheels off. Because she gets it all the time. And children do get fed up with it.
I get asked that quite a lot. And I've got people now where I've got them. Okay, I say... can I have your email address, please? And they go, oh, what for? I'll just want to email you my medical records,
yeah.
And they can see everything that's wrong with me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they go, and then they walk away really embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's quite funny now.
Yeah, want to email you everything about my bladder and incontinence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I've got some pictures, cracking pictures of accidents. Oh, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. Then you go, oh, there's another one. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a keeper.
Did you get hit by a car?
Nope, not had that one.
Not had that one. Okay, we'll cross that one off then. Why don't you use crutches?
Nope, haven't had that one.
Not had that one. I get that one all the time.
Really?
Because I can use crutches now and again, but it depends on the level of feeling I have in my legs that day.
Yeah.
So it varies considerably.
Yeah.
Why can't you take medication to make yourself better?
No, not had that one.
You not had that
not
one?
Not had that one.
Oh, that's quite a fun one, that
that's
is.
The sort of thing a kid would say, though.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes,
really?
But adults do ask that.
Because they stepped out their time machine from 1962.
Yeah. It's like I've done an interview with Adam Pearson, who's got a facial disfiguration, and one of the funniest ones I heard from him is, can't they do an operation to actually fix the issue because he's got a severe facial disfiguration? And he goes, yeah, they're 34 already.
I can never get it right.
He goes, or the other one was, is, you know, there's a cream that can help with that.
I love Adam. He is the snappiest dresser I know.
Yeah. So for people who don't know Adam Pearson, he's got a very similar disfigurement to the Elephant Man. I think it's the easiest thing to say, but he's the nicest bloke in the world.
Well, he brought that up on Newsnight about, once again, miscasting from the BBC.
Yes.
About casting another able-bodied actor.
Yeah, to play someone who's disabled.
Yeah.
Why does it take you so long to go to the toilet?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, I get that. Okay, so now and again, because it takes me a while to go to the toilet, I get people banging on the door saying, come on, hurry up. How fast can you go?
Yeah, she gets that.
Yeah, because that's got to be fun, because she's got an electric wheelchair, hasn't she?
Well, she is. It's part manual, because she wants to keep manual, but it does. They're called Twion reels. So in the wheels, it's a partial motor, because her school is so big to get around. I don't tire out. She pushes two or three times, and then for about 10 seconds, she'll be carried by it.
Okay.
Yeah, but she gets that one, and she goes this fast and gone.
Do you have a racer?
I do, because we've got her old wheelchair, so I sit now, but it's fallen to bits. And all her friends come around, her able-bodied friends come around and sit in it. And just go around, and it's so funny because I say, "Oh, I wish I was disabled. I'd love to have one of these." Kids get it. Kids absolutely get it.
Oh yeah. That's the other one I was going to ask. Can I have a go?
Yeah, they
all
do.
The time.
Kids get it
all the time, and they love it. I mean, I get my nephews and nieces on here, and I just spin them round.
Yeah,
yeah. The only trouble is I don't. When the adults want to go, I don't know where they expect myself or Emily to go.
Yeah.
If they, you know, where am I going to sit?
Yeah.
Where am I going to stand? Or how am I going to get around?
Yeah.
If you have a go in my scooter or wheelchair because I can't go anywhere.
So I'll just lay here in the gutter. Yeah.
Yeah, just lay on the floor.
Looking up at the stars like Oscar Wilde.
She's so brave.
Oh, when have we had that? We've had something along those lines. Oh, aren't you brave? To which Emily said, I wasn't in the war, you know. She's always got an answer for everything. That is my fault, listen. She's been brought up to be like...
Oh, that's
come back, a comeback straight away.
Oh,
it wasn't
I'm
going to
use
war,
that
you know.
Oh, that's made me chuckle.
Yeah.
Oh dear, I've got to pull myself together now. I brought a tear to my eye. Sorry.
But no, she's like that. She's quick off the mark.
Yeah, that was quite funny. I did like that one. So she wasn't in a war.
Yeah.
Right. So these are quick fire rounds. Now, for people who listen to Wild Save on a regular basis, this is quick fire rounds, but based around the interviewee.
Got more tense now.
I know. Right. Okay. Now, these could get you into trouble depending on how fast you answer.
But
okay, because you might not get employed by these organisations ever again. I doubt that's going to happen.
I doubt I suppose it will.
Okay, no. So, first of all, favourite superhero?
Superman.
Excellent. BBC or Channel 5?
Ooh, Channel 5.
Favourite film?
With Neil and I.
With Neil and I?
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like that. Favourite show?
Favourite show, and is it Doctor Who?
Doctor Who. I'll show you my TARDIS later.
Oh, cheeky. That's a euphemism if ever I have one today. Oh, how can a girl be so lucky on the first podcast?
Writing or presenting?
Writing.
Jeremy Vine or Matthew Wright?
Oh, it's got to be Wrighty. He's a really good friend to me.
Yeah?
He's a really good friend,
He's disappeared, though. Do you still see him?
No, he's on Talk Radio. We got horribly drunk together
awesome.
A few weeks ago.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's expecting his first child, isn't he?
Yeah, so pleased for him.
Yeah?
So pleased.
Going to be Godfather?
Oh, I doubt it. But no, I'm so pleased for him. It's their eighth try, and they utterly deserve it.
Awesome.
He does a lot of champion disability as well, so he utterly deserves every bit of goodwill I can give him.
Good. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Now, I've seen some very old pictures of you as a hippie.
Yeah.
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 I mean, this is proper hipster hair, so, you know, at the moment you look quite smart, quite casual, you know, professional. Yeah, but you were... Hipster, you had long hair down, you know, you were talking Queen length, Brian May kind of thing.
I looked like the poshest member of Hawkwind ever. That's what I looked like, yeah.
So, long hair or short hair?
Short hair.
Short hair, it's got to be, hasn't
it?
Favourite person in the top 100 list of Shore Disability?
Oh, Sam. Sam Rank.
Sam Rank?
She's my BFF.
Oh, is she?
She is my BFF. We go everywhere together in London. She's lovely.
Awesome. And actually, I'm doing an interview with her sometime, hopefully next week, for Wild Disabled as well.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Right, that is it.
Cool, no worries.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Excellent. So is there anything you want to add to Wild Disabled Interview while you're here to say anything?
Only keeps, if you go onto the Scope campaign page or even on my page at DanWhite1972 and look up the campaign for Scope and click to support it and sign the petition. And also, if anyone knows any good graphic novel publishers, please let me know. Then the Department of Ability can actually fly. And it's for all ages, for all abilities. It's for everyone. And it's a good riot. It's a good laugh.
Excellent. Dan White, you've been absolutely awesome. Thank you very much for joining us on Wild Disabled.
Thank you very much indeed, me old fruit.